B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here comes Gasper on an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Gasper of the Globe. How you doing, Christopher?
I'm good. How are you guys? What's going on?
Just another day, another dollar. Where do you want to start? Gostkowski, Brady, the Patriots? What do you got?
Dealer's choice. Your show.
Okay, I think you've got a thing up your ass about Gostkowski.
I think that's probably accurate, yeah.
Okay, let's go. Well, let's get it out.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to defend my man, Stephen Gostkowski.
He's your man?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we started covering the team the same year. You know, his rookie year was my rookie year.
Wow.
06. So, you know, but I'll just start here, right? So I think there's a lot of guys that replacing Adam Vinatieri would have lasted 15 days, never mind 14 seasons. Okay, so there's a level of mental toughness there and performance. And I'll say this too, right, which I said in the email to you. Is he Adam Vinatieri? No, he's not. But if he ends up being 80% of him, which I think he is. I think if you took that and you said, okay, the Patriots are going to replace Tom Brady as well as they replaced Adam Vinatieri, I think every Patriots fan should be happy with that.
Hell yeah.
If you got a guy that was the Stephen Gostkowski of quarterbacks and lasted 14 seasons.
Okay, who's arguing his career?
So what are you arguing? So he's had a bad year. So does that mean we just condemn him overall? Because right now Vinatieri is having a bad year. So should he not be in the Hall of Fame? Because he's missed 6 kicks to Gostkowski's 5.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's really gotten on Gostkowski for his career. I mean, is anyone saying he hasn't been a worthwhile kicker for the last 12 years or whatever?
Well, that's if I listen to you guys, it would sound like he's never made a kick.
No. He's had a bad time with the last couple of years, and he's missed a lot of kicks in a lot of big games. Basically, the last game of your year, he's missed a big kick.
Yeah,
in every
I don't deny that. But you
like
know what?
4 years.
But you know what I never hear though. First of all, there's a couple of things. One, Vinatieri never kicked in a Super Bowl with the 33-yard extra point. Like, the whole league, the whole thing with these kickers has changed.
Please.
Since that. I'm sorry it has. I know you guys think, like, you know, that they're weak-minded and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But it's changed for all these kickers, including the guy you brought in to replace Vinatieri. Mike, it's changed for all these guys. Do you remember Vinatieri missing this many kicks before?
Well, he's also 55 years. How old is Vinatieri?
He's 46.
Okay, so, like, it's a little different. It's a little different. You had a better take on.
But you don't think he if it were still where it was before.
No, I think Adam's.
Do you think he'd be having the issues he's having this year?
No, I don't. I think Adam in his prime was the most mentally tough kicker I've ever seen in my life.
I have to do a quick aside here, and I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing, but I do think that it's interesting to me because last year Gostkowski made the field goal that basically clinched that Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
It's a 41-yarder. Brady says to Belichick, why don't we just kick it?
Yeah, Bill didn't want to kick
it. That's downplaying it. He had to be convinced.
Okay, well, the quarterback believes in him, right? So he goes, he kicks it, he makes it.
Because he's old.
But Brady
only likes old people.
So Vinatieri, I'm sure you covered the Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl 38. What did he do in that game?
Oh, he chunked two of them. People totally forget it.
He's
you're right
one for
that.
Three.
Yeah.
But he made the one that mattered.
That's right.
But nobody remembers the other two that he missed.
This is true.
But this guy, Gostkowski, he misses. He misses an extra point. Everybody remembers. They even remember. I'll tell you, I covered the Super Bowl where Vinatieri missed a 26-yard field goal. This was against the Bears.
Oh, when he was with the
Colts. Then there was another extra point that it was a bad snap, bad hold, and he didn't even attempt. Which is what Stephen Gostkowski should have done in Super Bowl 52 when he missed the 26-yard field goal with a terrible snap and an awful hold, the whole thing. But he went and kicked it, so now we hold that one against him. I'm not arguing Gostkowski's as good as Vinatieri, but he has had an outstanding career.
Yeah,
and
I'll
you guys
give you
make
that.
It sound like he's been awful.
No.
You guys are making him sound like Scott Sisson all week long.
Chris, overall, yeah, he's going to be a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The accolades are there. It speaks for himself. He's as accomplished as there is in the league. He's as good a kicker as in the league. But from the AFC Championship game in Denver, from 15 to now, I think he's pedestrian. I think he's... I think he's any of these guys. I really do.
I think pedestrian is low. I think pedestrian is what you have now in Mike Nugent. I think he's better than pedestrian. I get it. I understand the frustration. I know he's missed some kicks. I just think that it's a whole new ball game for all these guys, I guess outside of Justin Tucker, really, since the extra point got changed. And what I never hear is any blame on the coach, who was the biggest proponent of changing the rule. He had the best kicker in the league, a guy who never missed an extra point. But Mr. Competitive decided that the extra point needed to be more competitive. He actually wanted to move it back to 40 yards, and they only settled at 33. And then ever since then, his kicker's had some issues. But I never hear anything about the coach.
I love that.
Because it was going swimmingly. There was no issue. No issue there. But you know what? I want this extra point to be more competitive.
Did Bill draft this rule?
He did. He was the leading proponent of this rule. It was one of the rare times that he participated at the owners' meetings.
Yeah,
he stood up and went to bat for it. This was his baby.
And
this is his brainchild.
Good for him.
He wanted it to be 40.
I wish it was 40.
He might have wanted it to be 45, to be honest.
I wish they never
God
screwed
bless.
With it. I hate it.
Oh, I love it.
It's a terrible.
It's great.
The man is a football genius, but this one I just do not get.
You like the old extra point?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's an
easy kick.
You shouldn't have to worry about it. I agree.
I don't. It's added a whole layer. It's exposed the guys at that position who can't handle it. It's added all of them.
Yeah. That's the problem. Nugent wasn't wrong. You can say he was complaining. You can say he's being a baby. But when he stated that the idea behind this rule is more misses, they want us to fail more, that's fact, not opinion.
Okay, right.
They wanted more failures. They got more failures.
Okay,
and now people like you were like, what's wrong with these guys? They can't make all their kicks. Oh, they're wusses. They have no mental toughness.
It's true.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes. It is.
But this is what the league wanted. The additional misses were built into the rule.
Okay, good. I'm for the league on this one. I'm for Bill. Good job. But it is ironical, though, that it's...
Ironical?
Yeah, well, it's it's ironic that sent his kicker into this funk.
I agree with you.
And the guy he brought in...
That is ironical. I'll give it to you.
The guy he brought in is the main guy that was bitching about
it
and whose career he inadvertently helped ruin.
Exactly.
But there was no issue. I will admit this. I do think that there's been a little bit of a mental block on these extra points since, to Jim's point, 2015 in Denver. I will totally concede that. But even this year, I know it's been a tough year for Steven. He hasn't been good. But it's been mostly the extra points. I mean, he's 7 of 8 on field goals.
That's right.
I think you'll take that.
So do you think the injury is kind of bullcrap?
I don't think it's bullcrap, but I don't think it's the entire issue with his kicking.
I mean, right, because he's...
I think, and again, you guys are going to get on me. This is more excuse making for my guy. But I think the holder's a big part of it.
Oh, God.
That guy's straight out of Ace Ventura. I mean, Jake Bailey, oof. I don't think he did a very good job in holding in the preseason.
He missed one with Ryan Allen holding in the preseason.
Yeah, he did. That's true. But I think most of it was with Jake Bailey. And you could look at that operation, and I've seen it since 06.
The operation.
It didn't look right. Didn't look like Steven was too happy with that operation.
I think someone just lost a source in the locker room.
That's not true.
Talk about going to bat. It's the holding. It's the extra point. This is like
the coach. Don't forget the coach.
The coach. Yeah. This is like right out of the whiny kicker playbook. It's unbelievable.
I'm just saying. I think that there are some mitigating factors here that you guys have overlooked in your discussion of Steven Gostkowski. I do.
How do you feel about Mike Nugent? So I have a bigger problem with Mike Nugent. Like, I have no problem with him trying something else because you just can't afford to keep giving away these extra points. And it's trending in a bad direction. And I just... Steven Gostkowski is not the only guy who can come in and produce like he's produced the last couple of years. I think there's others who could do the same thing. Yes,
so?
I do. Because
when Shane Graham was here, he was 12 for 12, but he didn't make a kick beyond 41 yards. Steven Gostkowski's career long, I believe, is 61.
Yeah, but how is he from beyond 50? He's horrible. I'm sorry, Nugent's bad from beyond 50.
Yeah,
right. I'm
Gostkowski's
sorry.
Not.
Okay, then why don't they line up from 53 in Buffalo?
For what, the extra point?
No, 50. No, they had a chance for a 53-yard field goal.
Buffalo, you've covered
games there. It was a beautiful
day. It doesn't matter.
Chris.
The wind is always swirling
Chris,
in there.
There's nothing. Oh, my God. Here's another one. Now all of a sudden there's a typhoon.
But come on, man. You've been down there. You know how it is.
Yeah, it was beautiful on that day. It doesn't blizzard every day.
But it's the same as Foxborough, right? It's like it can look like, you know, tranquil conditions, and you kick the ball, and all of a sudden there's a cyclone in there.
Okay, there was no cyclone on Sunday. It was a beautiful day.
But come on, Felgi, seriously. I know you guys are going to mock me.
Seriously.
But you've been to Buffalo. Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. Were you?
No, but I'm saying we've both been there where it looks like beautiful on TV.
I know. Well, it was beautiful.
And you look out there, and it's like, this is dicey.
Hold on. Let's call up the game sheet. Let me get the wind, because they give you the wind on that for the opening thing, right?
It doesn't matter. It matters if it's swirling.
If he's kicking.
Oh, it's swirling.
If he's kicking today, you have to take into account
this
warm t-shirt weather we're having to deal with.
Unbelievable.
In Orchard Park.
This is striking.
And I heard you say this too. I mean, if they didn't attempt it from 53, well, what did they do in warm-ups? Maybe in warm-ups they said, okay, that's not good.
Hey, no? He clanged one. I remember seeing one of the beat guys say that he clanged one from like 48 yards in the warm-up.
So I will say this too. That is where like a hip injury would affect you, is when you're trying to turn and generate for distance.
So the winds were 10 to 15. That's decent. I mean,
it swirls there. I'm telling you, New Era, it swirls.
East to northeast. So there's your swirling. Cloudy, high temp 65.
You know Bill's into this stuff, too.
Of course he is.
You know he knows if the wind is swirling or what the gusts are. Like, he calculates all of this stuff.
I'm sorry. 53 yards should be okay. It's like, woo, wow. Ooh, I mean, grab on to something, Murray. Hold on.
Well, I'll tell you right now. I mean, 53 for Nugent, they're not even going to tell
him. No way.
Go in the locker room and take a piss, son, because we're not even thinking about this.
So this is my problem. Nugent struggles from the extra point, and he can't kick plus 50. So it's like there's a very little narrow window where you're going to be
kicking. It's called the Shane Graham window. Again, didn't attempt anything outside of 41 yards.
I'm not in on Mike Nugent. I wish it was a no-name with a big leg that I'd never heard of is what I was rooting for. So I don't necessarily like Mike Nugent, but this thing that, you know, Steven Gostkowski's irreplaceable is...
I didn't say irreplaceable. I would say underappreciated. And again, we didn't even get to talk about, did you watch last night? I mean, Zuerlein's an all-pro.
Yeah, Legatron.
Is it Havatron or Legatron? You tell me. what's the guy's nickname?
Legatron on Focaccia.
Whatever it is, he transformed into a putz last night. So I'm just telling, and he missed the field goal in the Super Bowl, the keep us alive, 8 second left, 46-yard field goal in the Super Bowl. Zuerlein missed that too. So, you know, I think we tend to not pay attention to other people's kickers when they're missing.
One of the most passionate, nonsensical defenses of Steven Gostkowski you'll ever hear just transpired on this air. Your thoughts, we'll get to Brady next, too, as well.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The snap in the spot. Kicked by Gostkowski. Airborne to the uprights. And it's no good.
What?
Gostkowski with a miss off to the right. Steven Gostkowski, who's made an NFL record 463 consecutive regular season extra points, misses to the right, and it's 7-6 Denver with 1:49 to go here in the first.
Right, that could be a killer.
And Super Bowl 51 between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
Point after try by Gostkowski from the left hash of the 23. Snap from Cardona to Allen. Kick airborne to the uprights, and the kick bangs off the right upright. Greeny, no good. Super Bowl 52 between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. Gostkowski will attempt 26-yard field goal from the near hash. Cardona's snap is low. Allen has to reset it. Gostkowski's kick hits the left upright, and it clanks off the upright, no good. A disastrous turn for the Patriots on that possession. The snap in the spot from the left hash. The Gostkowski kick is no good. He hooked it left. Elliott missed a kick right. Gostkowski pulls that kick left, and the Patriots now trail 15-12. Super Bowl 53 between the New England Patriots, champions of the AFC, and the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. Joe Cardona over the football, snaps it back. Placement and a swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights, and the kick is no good. Gostkowski hooked it, missed it off to the left.
Yeah, Murray, Big Jim, I don't know if you know this, but those misses last year in the Georgia Dome, there's some swirling winds coming through the Oculus there in the Georgia Dome. So that was just for Chris Gasper. Now let's get to Tom Brady, shall we? Tom Brady had a comment today that we don't love. I mean, what can he tell you? Murray, who is a Brady Bobo, certainly doesn't like it. Tom's asked about working with young players. So directly asked about, you know, young players struggling in this offense, and can you do anything to bring them along? And this is what he said.
It's up to, I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least, because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
Okay. So, Murray, why don't you take this one?
I just, again, as a card-carrying Brady Bobo, this annoys the hell out of me. For him to say there's nothing I can do for them, that's patently false. When you have video for the 11 days that Antonio Brown was here of Brady out on the practice field going over how to run routes and how he wants things done one-on-one with Antonio Brown.
Great point.
He can do this. He can do it when he feels like a guy is on his level, like Antonio Brown is in terms of ability, and because he thinks he's one of the superstars of the league, which he is in terms of ability, but a horrible person, obviously. But, you know, there's a hierarchy to Brady. But guys lesser than? Nah, I can't be bothered.
Well, Philip Dorsett. I think Philip Dorsett is lesser than, and he loves him. He's put in time with that guy.
Well, because he's been here. His third year, Dorsett? So he's been around.
Yeah, but he's been talking positively about him for a couple of years, to the point, like, in the first year, I was like, I don't see it.
First year, he totally ignored him. So, like, if you've been around long enough,
you totally ignored him.
I mean, he wasn't a big factor.
No, I agree. And he's not a big factor when they ask him to go up from number four receiver to number three or from three to two. But I'm just saying, Brady went to bat for that. My point is, it's not just the Randy Mosses and the Antonio Browns. That's not fair to say, because he went to bat for Philip Dorsett in the preseason, and he's spoken glowingly of him for a couple of years now.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so a guy can eventually get there. That's fine.
You've got to earn your way in.
But right now, it feels like, especially with Edelman beat up, and he already, we're 4 weeks in, and it looks like he's played already a full season. Josh Gordon, thankfully, off the injury report, but still, he's kind of sluggish, and he had the knee thing. So you're going to want these guys on a bit of a pitch count going forward, I would think. So it would help him. It would benefit him and the offense and obviously the team if he starts working with Myers now. I don't know. It feels like imperative for him to start working with some of these young guys now. And his attitude today with his press conference and not really giving a strong endorsement to them, I just found...
Or saying that it's not his job to work with them is what he's basically saying. Like, what? And then again, he says, you know, it's the same on defense. The free safety can't rush the passer, or pass rushers can't cover the deep part of the field. That's being disingenuous. So there are some roles on the football field.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you do have to help guys set where they are on the defense or the offense. And so, like, no. And he knows that. Like, but I still think.
I'll be honest. It wasn't a great look. That's the first time I've heard it. And I was like, ooh, when did Brady morph into Dan Marino? But, yeah, I mean, it's not a great look. But on the other hand, I put myself in his shoes. And it's like, well, how much time and effort should he invest in Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski? Because they might not be here. Because it's been a revolving door at that position, which frankly has been mismanaged for 2 years now and treated like an afterthought. And maybe Brady's just reached his breaking point there. And he's saying, I'm not going to put the time and effort in with these guys because they might not even be here. And I also remember this. Edelman's rookie year, I remember Edelman's parents going in the locker room and Brady saying to his parents, we like Jules. He works really hard. He tries to do the right thing. So as much as you guys are saying, like, this is a commentary on Brady, is it possible this is a commentary on Myers and Olszewski? Like, Brady's not seeing it? Like, these guys aren't putting in the amount of work that he thinks they should be?
I don't know. I don't feel that. I'm not there. So, I have no indication.
Never stopped you before.
Well, no. So, I mean, I would
facilitate for me, Michael.
Well, sure. If those guys didn't work hard, Gunnar Olszewski, if he didn't work, the only reason he's here is because he works hard. Or Jacoby Myers. If you're undrafted, it means...
Or is it maybe because they're not on the teat of TB12?
Well, no. Bills, those guys, those undrafted tweener guys, are not here unless they're hardworking. I mean, that's the only reason they're there.
But, I mean, Edelman made his position change. Like, he picked it up, you know, relatively quickly by the end of the year. Like, Olszewski, like, changing from defensive back, I didn't see anything in the preseason that, to me, was like, this guy will be a viable receiver this year.
No, it's really more about Myers.
Okay.
But I also think Brady is... less, I think as we've gone forward, he's less and less tolerant of young players or new players. And that circle of trust is hard. So he's gotten more stubborn as he's gone on. And now this year, I wonder if there's just an extra layer of, well, you didn't give me my guy and you bailed on Antonio Brown. And, by the way, you still haven't paid me. And now I'm going to be a free agent. Like, there's all those sort of things. And now he's really gone to this extreme, which is, and maybe extreme is the wrong word, but it's just... I feel like it's harder than ever now to get him to budge on these young players, and that's too bad because they have enough to win it all.
Yeah, you're right, and I understand what you guys are saying, but on the other hand, again, I look at it from his side, and it's like, again, it's been a revolving door, so how many times do you want to invest in Kenny Britt and Jordan Matthews and Eric Decker, and then the guy's not there? It seemed like he was invested in Demaryius Thomas. They traded him away.
Well,
do you want to invest in Dontrell Inman? Is that worth it? You know, I was a big Maurice Harris guy. Maurice Harris got hurt. One more week and he would be eligible to come back to the Patriots after signing that injury settlement. Is that a guy? It just seems like
so
his position is an afterthought.
I think both Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown were week-to-week propositions, and it feels like Brady's invested in them. I mean, you can't get more unreliable than Josh Gordon. He could be gone at any moment, any day.
But wasn't there, I mean, we've heard this. Didn't Bedard say this? That there was like a, or someone said, there basically was a mandate from the team. Like, we're going to stick this guy next to you in the locker room, and we need you to help him. Like, wasn't there basically a mandate from the team?
Right.
He invested? Okay. And it's obviously it's a sliding scale. Like, guys like Gordon and Brown are tremendous talents, but I think you guys are putting the blame in the wrong spot. Like, why put it on Brady or all of it on Brady for having to constantly rectify the situation at wide receiver? Why is it that they're always chasing their tail? And guys like Brown and Gordon are last-ditch, desperation, in-season bailouts. I mean, if Antonio Brown doesn't shoot his way out of Oakland, he's not there as a potential fix. If Josh Gordon
Brady
doesn't do what he
Brown,
did in Cleveland.
Brady didn't treat Brown as a bailout. Brady was all in on Antonio Brown.
But I'm saying it's a bailout from a personnel management standpoint, because you don't expect or know that those guys are going to be available and they're joining you during the year. Like, well, that's not ideal. Shouldn't you have your thing set up?
It only came that way because Colbert or whatever the GM in Pittsburgh's name is wouldn't trade him to you. You tried to trade for Antonio Brown in the offseason.
Okay, but then it didn't happen. Antonio Brown got dealt in March.
And then they drafted
a
wide receiver.
And then they drafted a guy in the first round. Like, what do you want him to do for this guy? Like, geez.
Go out and get Emmanuel Sanders in March or April instead of October.
Well, what if they didn't want to trade him?
Sign Adam Humphries or Cole Beasley, guys who would be doing a lot better here.
Well, those are fair
with real quarterbacks. You know, with a real quarterback than they're doing in other places. Why is it always last minute in season fix?
Okay, so Brady, Gostkowski, Jim. Who else can we get to Gasper to go to the wall for? Who's next? Who's another one of his binkies? How's Chloe?
This is definitely a binky Friday.
How's Chloe doing up
Tuca?
In the
Are you a Tuca guy?
I'm not. I mean, I sort of go back and forth. I got to be honest. I was a Tuca guy. Game 7 was just.
Finally.
Right. Thank you. There you go. No swirling winds in the garden that day. Here's McCarthy's update and then your calls, I promise.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Listening to Felger and Nash.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, let's take calls with Gasper here. Longest order of wait, Rick in Bedford. Go ahead, Rick, on the Pats. What do you got? Ricky! Okay, baby.
Hey, I want to talk about the Bills game.
Go.
Are we sure that game was as much of a blowout as we are claiming it is?
Huh? Who said it was a blowout?
Well, you guys were talking about how if Tom Brady throws that touchdown in the end zone, the game's essentially a blowout.
Oh, yes. I think it would have been. Yes, I do.
I mean, if we're going to take away a bad pass play, should we take away a bad Bills play?
No, because every play Josh Allen made was a bad play. One play from Brady. The other guy was putting on a clinic and poor quarterbacking and inability to decipher a defense.
I think even if they took 3 before the half, you're on your way to a blowout there. That was going to be a backbreaker.
They couldn't score. I mean, I know they scored in the second half, but I mean, with Josh Allen at the helm, I just did not believe they could consistently string drives together.
But the way that drive was that the Patriots put together, there was like close to 9 minutes. It was almost 99 yards. Like, that would have been it.
Well, it also gave the Bills a little momentum. I think they scored a field goal on the ensuing drive.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some weird thing in football where even a turnover deep in your own end, you usually convert it to points. You know, I know it just sort of goes that way. And I think that whole thing sort of gave them a little wind at their sails that made it a ball game. If you had gone up 20-0, or certainly if you scored the touchdown and make it whatever that would be, 24-0, it's ball game. And maybe you do get your blowout. Todd in the car. Go ahead, Todd.
Hi, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling about the Gostkowski injury. You know, I don't understand how he's able to kick off the football. Every time he's kicking it off, you know, it goes in the back of the end zone. And every game I've seen that happens, and he's consistent with that, but he's missing field goals. and now the injury comes up.
So, Todd, he's not even missing field goals. He was 7 of 8, I think, on field goals.
Yeah, 7 of 8 on field goals.
So he was making the field goals. It was the extra point, which just tells you, is it injury or is it, you know, where's the injury? To his hip or his head? And I think it's more the latter. I mean, they clearly, whatever.
He was managing the injury, whatever this was.
Yes.
Right? And it just got to be too much. Like, this was the tipping point in Buffalo.
You want to second guess Bill. It's not necessarily for moving the extra point back. I'm glad he did. I like it.
Of course you like
it. I actually like the change. They should have managed the position better in the offseason. Your guy's 34 going on 35. He's missed big kicks and big games down the stretch the last several years. He's one of the highest paid kickers in the game, and he's up for a contract. Like, you don't have anyone on speed dial. You don't have, you know, you didn't scout the draft. You don't have a list of young guys that would be next. Instead, you got to go to Mike Nugent. Yeah, that doesn't, I don't know. It just feels like they were all in on a guy that they should have been hedging, is all.
Yeah, one kicker at a time. He took care of Bailey, the punter, this time around. Next year, he'll draft a kicker.
Patrick in the car, give me a Patriots thought. What do you got?
Hey, guys. We all know how good the defense was at the end of last year and how well they've been playing this year. But correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Devin McCourty contemplating retirement? And do you think because of how good the defense has been that may sway his opinion moving on to next year, potentially?
Gaspar, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. He did mention it, obviously, at the Super Bowl. I think that was a little bit of a surprise for a lot of us in Atlanta. You know, I wonder how much it plays. He's playing, obviously, at a very high level right now, but I think the opportunity to play with his brother, I think that's something that is really unique, and I think he's really enjoyed that. So it's interesting. You know, Jason McCourty's deal, I believe, is up after this year. So is Devin's. So do they ride off into the sunset together or go to another team? Or what's the situation? It certainly looks like both of them still have gas in the tank, but I don't know.
I mean, McCourty makes a tremendous salary, which I would have normally say he's not really worth because he's not really a playmaking safety.
He's been awesome this year.
But, geez, if you have an interception a game, then you're worth your $10 million or whatever it is. So, you know, he's obviously been a great Patriot. So
they're still going to make him take a pay cut, though, if he wants to come back. He's not going to make what he's making this year.
No question. And what do you think his appetite is to take a pay cut?
Well, I think you've seen that. In fact, and kudos to him. I mean, he's one of the few guys here that they haven't been able to give the haircut to. I think, you know, maybe a couple of seasons ago that was broached, and he said no. And here we are at this point, and he's indispensable to them, and they haven't been able to do it, and they still just tolerate it and keep him. He's playing at a really high level, so this is one where the employees win.
Greg in Rhode Island, your thought?
Yeah, good show, guys. I just wanted to ask your opinion. Do you think that the Pats are working behind the scenes right now, at least, and I mean aggressively, to try to find another good receiver in the league?
Yes, and let me tell you how I know how. Because Jay Glazer, who I do consider like gold, like
Charlie Casserly.
No, what do you mean?
I'm just making a joke because, you know, you said like gold. It's like, you know, oh, the way Bill feels about Charlie Casserly.
No. I think Glazer's impeccable. Like, you wouldn't know it because he's kind of a wise guy and a you know, bleep talker and whatnot. But as a reporter, he's like really thorough and careful. And he almost never gets it wrong, in my experience. And he had today on The Athletic that was something like he wouldn't be surprised if the Pats are making a strong bid for Manny Sanders.
Yeah, something along those lines. Hold on one second.
So I don't know. I just, when Glazer has something, I give it extra attention, even maybe more than a Schefter sort. But it's, you know, it's along the same lines.
Yeah, I agree with you. But let me ask you this. Do you think your guy, the Don, would deal Sanders to New England? I mean, the Broncos season is over. They should deal Sanders and Chris Harris. But would Elway do it and deal
so
him
did,
to
did
New
he
England?
Trade the tight end Darby here last, you know, 2 years ago?
Who? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
AJ.
Something Darby, and then he just traded.
I thought the Patriots traded that guy to Denver.
Yeah, that's the way it went. It went from. Yeah.
Oh, it was from here to Denver. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So I got it backwards. But either way, they're willing to deal. I don't know.
Well, I know. I just know you have the line to the Don. I mean, what's his thinking?
I don't have the line. I don't know what he's thinking. I'd like to know what he's thinking. I'd like to know what he was thinking hiring another coach like this. But
Sanders has popped off the last couple of losses, and he sounds fed up. So you know, maybe this starts going the way of Jalen Ramsey and Stephon Diggs, and he's just going to make it untenable there, so they got to move him.
Glazer said it wouldn't shock him
if
Emmanuel Sanders got traded here.
They clearly like him because they made a restricted bid on him several years ago. They lowballed him and got burnt because Pittsburgh matched. So they clearly liked him at some point, and I'd say since that point, he's done nothing but get better. I mean, he's nasty.
That's a good point.
He's terrific.
Yeah.
The terrific player.
I mean, he's 32, but he's not showing really signs of decline. And, you know, he's in the last year of his deal. So you need him for a couple of months.
So, look, I mean, They got to get someone that Brady's willing to work with, because he's clearly reluctant to work with what they got here.
And it comes down to be a name or be drafted in the first round. So
or be old.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. So, like, in Dorsett's case, I wonder if he's like, well, he was a first-round draft pick, so there was actually something there, you know, so that's why I'm going to be able to work with him. But someone like Jacoby Myers, who was street trash, I can't be bothered.
Street trash.
I mean, he worked with Kembrell Tompkins, right, who was an undrafted guy. The bottom line is a lot of these guys aren't that good. And that's you know, Brady can't come out and say, like, these guys aren't that good. So this is kind of his way of saying it. So you guys can rag on Brady all you want.
Okay.
But the guy knows wide receiver talent. And if he's out there and he's like, geez, these guys aren't that good, and I don't think they're going to be around very long, then what do you want him to do? Turn the guy into Jerry Rice?
I want him to give him a chance, and it doesn't feel like he is. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Harris, ready to snap it back. He does. Here comes Nugent's kick. It's on its way. It's going to be close. It is. Good!
Yeah! Yeah!
Cincinnati wins on the final play of regulation on a 54-yard field goal.
Wow!
We played so many Nugent misses yesterday. I thought we'd give you a big make there.
Oh, you're getting soft, huh?
No, I'm balanced, McCarthy. You wouldn't understand it. I'm
firm
fair.
But fair.
I'm fair. Like, it's just,
it is.
Yeah! Oh my God, he made it.
Yeah,
that's what we didn't see that coming. Holy crap, that dude actually hit a kick.
So we'll see. Less inspiring choice, Ted Nugent. But I'd say this, Ted Nugent.
Mike
Nugent. I'd say the same thing, though, about Shane Graham. He was less inspiring, but Bill got it right.
Yeah, they just didn't make him attempt any real field goals. Everything was 41 yards or in.
This is what they'll probably do with this guy.
They manage the position.
More of your calls with Gasper here. Mike in the truck on the receiving situation. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, a couple things real quick. One, I'd like you guys to have this Brady young receiver conversation again in a few weeks when N'Keal Harry comes back. I'd be curious to see if he's too mentally fatigued to help that kid out when they'll probably need him.
That kid's missed a lot of time. He's way behind. I don't know why everyone's banking on him like contributing. He has a lot of catching up to. To me, there's the same with the Cameron Meredith thing. I was like, why are we talking about Cameron Meredith? The guy had one good year, blew out his knee, was never the same.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's gone now.
He's gone. Exactly.
Believe me, when someone brought Cam Meredith the other night, I said, who's that? I spent no time on Cam Meredith.
Yeah, but Harry, based on his body size alone and just a little bit that you saw in the Detroit preseason game, you'd think he'd be okay in the red zone, right? Like, he should be able to box guys out or at least up and get the ball.
He'll do the old Kenny Britt. It will be slants, goes, back shoulder fades. That'll be it. But I wouldn't expect much more. That kid has a lot of ground to make up. I mean, I like the pick. It's unfortunate he's been unavailable, but I just think it's going to be really hard for him to contribute all the ground he has to make up.
This Brady, what he's had to put up with Murray, it's unbelievable. The adversity that he's been handed.
Should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
The card, seriously. The perseverance.
It's amazing.
And fortitude.
It's a great point. Right?
Yes. Saw it today, too, from Mark Daniels of the Projo was saying that the house has been lowered, too. You know, they can't move the house that they're trying to sell in Brookline. They had to lower the asking price.
From $39 million to 33.
Oh.
That's a big,
price to sell.
Can you imagine?
Taking a haircut on the house, huh? Oh,
the poor guy.
Price to sell, baby. Only $33 million to be next to the mattress there.
Maybe Jimmy G will come back and buy it.
Here's Tyler in Boston. He says, Edelman's YouTube. Uh-oh, did Edelman post something on YouTube?
Hey, friends. I saw a post on YouTube. It looked like Edelman had commented how late he was staying for practice, like on his rookie year. Until like 10, 11 o'clock with Bill Belichick. You guys hear about this YouTube?
I did not hear about this YouTube.
No, me either.
But I mean, I know Julian really went above and beyond his rookie year, and it made an impression. And I will never forget that. Brady saying what he said to Edelman's parents, at the end of the year.
So is So, McCarthy, can you just look and see if there's some stupid YouTube with Edelman? Is he posting
now?
Are
you really going to make me do
no,
that?
No, well, you don't have to. Yeah, so, fine. Right. This is the take, then. That is Edelman posting now videos of himself practicing till 9, 10 o'clock as a rookie? And is he sending a message to the Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewskis and maybe the Keel Harries of the world that this is what it takes, kids?
I think that's
That's what I'm going with.
Gasper just got excited.
Yep. Yeah, that's very possible.
Yep.
Just saying, you know, you guys are ripping the QB. Maybe he's just trying to make a point.
It's just bad sound.
Maybe he's just trying to motivate. I will say, the way he presented it, I was like, oh, this sounds Marino-esque.
It really does. Like, I mean, again, Jimmy, let's just hear it again. Tom Brady's asked, point blank, younger players have had a hard time in terms of producing in your offense. How much of that can you help change? This is what he said.
It's up to... I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
That's the tough line.
Isn't that what you put in the end of every show email?
I don't want to spend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
Yeah, that's like your mantra in life.
No, it's well, but this
it is.
Yeah, let's not.
Didn't at the beginning it sounded like he wanted to say it's up to them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I could tell like when he stammered a little bit, I immediately I was like, oh, he doesn't like this question. Doesn't like the way this question was phrased in terms of what can you do. It's like a couple of years ago, I think it was 2014 when they got off to the rough start, and Alan Siegel was like, "No, you. What do you have to do better?" Like pointing at him, and I was like, "Ooh, yeah." I don't think Tom loved that. What can you do?
I think one thing we talked about here.
Yeah. There was a little exasperation, frustration in his voice.
So he's clearly in a spot. We'll see how long he stays there.
I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least.
Tom, blink three times if you want Emmanuel Sanders.
Held hostage by these kids and incompetence.
I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
But Murray made such a great point. You're willing to work on routes, obviously, with Antonio Brown. You open up your house to Antonio Brown. Your house to that cretin. Never mind. You know, spending practice time with him. So
maybe he thought Brown was a prospective buyer.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, but you won't do it with a young receiver? Like, come on.
Are you done sending some threatening texts? Come here. I want to show you how to run these routes. Meanwhile, Jacoby Myers and the other guy's like, hey, we're over here too. No, you guys suck. He's actually great. Are you done sending that threatening text too? The one that no one can actually comprehend? Okay, come here. Bring it in.
I know how Jacoby Myers feels because, again, young Gasper interacting with Felger and Mads years and years before the radio show. Same thing. Here's, no time for a young whippersnapper.
Here's Evan in Rhode Island. Hi, Evan.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
So, was Gostkowski a better kicker than Vinatieri for the Patriots?
Oh, definitely not.
No
one would argue that. No, Vinatieri's better. I would never argue that. I'm just saying. I would say he's about 80% of that guy. If you get a quarterback that's 80% of Brady, you should be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
All right.
So I agree 100%. Like, this is a whole nother argument of the, you know, the next quarterback. So let me just throw some names at you.
Okay.
Okay. If your next quarterback is Tony Romo, are you happy?
Yeah, because Bill can win with Tony Romo.
No, I am not.
Okay, Murray's not. If your next.
Because Tony Romo was an inherent loser. Okay. So.
If your next quarterback is Matthew Stafford, did they do a good job getting the next quarterback?
Yeah, I think Bill could win with Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
No.
So let me answer these so I'm not just facilitating, Jimmy. I'm 100% yes on Romo. I'm 100% yes on Stafford. If your next guy is that caliber, you did well. That's a good transition. Murray?
No.
Is it win season games or is it win a championship? Because there's a difference.
If Bill's coaching him, I think you can win a championship. I think Bill could win a championship with Romo or Stafford.
I agree. He could win at least one with those guys.
Why couldn't he do it with Bledsoe?
Oh, because...
Why, Belichick couldn't with Bledsoe?
I think it was too ingrained at that point.
Okay, so...
Because some guys, so that's like fair. Stafford and Romo, deep down, while they can help you get to 11-5, 12-4, hell, maybe even a bye.
Hold on.
Choke in the end.
So listen, could the current Belichick, who I think has gotten better with age and like... Is better than he was in 96. If you give me Bledsoe 96 with Belichick 2019, could they have beaten the Packers that day?
Yes.
I think so.
No. Overcomes all. Okay. Even the greatest coach of all time, you can't stop the suck.
Let me continue. If your next quarterback is Philip Rivers, did they do a good job?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah. So Rivers.
Okay. So yes on Rivers. Yeah. All right.
Because
yes.
Rivers has, I think. A
oh
little
yeah,
because
he's just the ultimate winner, Jim.
5 playoff wins, more than Romo.
That's fair. That's fair. But I mean, come on. I mean, he walked in here last year with the better team and played terribly.
Yeah, things happen.
If your next quarterback is, just so we can give him one more. Let me think of a. If your next quarterback is, give me one, Gasper. Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, well, that's obvious. But what, let me ask you this: what your next quarterback?
So yes, is Roethlisberger? Yes.
Yeah, heck yeah,
he's done it. He's two. Got yeah.
What if your next quarterback is Dak Prescott? I say yes.
I think Prescott.
Yes.
Has, yeah.
Yes.
I think Prescott might be able to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Marcus
yes.
Mariota.
No.
Please.
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah. So right, I draw the line there. But
everyone hates Mariota.
Hawaiian Tebow. It's not my line. It's the Drew McGarry from Deadspin. I wish I came up with it. It's so great. It's the best nickname ever.
So wrong.
It's so good.
All right, Gasper, thanks for coming in. We all appreciate right. it. Watch out for those swirling winds this weekend down in Washington.
Can you make it into Gasper and Mario tomorrow?
Well, if I'm late,
can't, Jim.
If I'm late, you know what will happen. That swirling
what, it's every
north,
other
northeast
it's every
wind.
Saturday. If you're
is there a show tomorrow?
Yeah,
you guys
11 to 2.
Okay. Well, hear you guys 11. Is that after Hockey Talk?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
After the Calgary Flames PK talk?
Yeah, so Flames have a couple of new defensemen I'm interested in. I saw that the other night. I looked at the old box score.
You'll hear that until 11.
Flames look like a heavy team this year, Felgen.
On the hockey show, then you get Gasper and Murray from 11 to 2. See you, Chris. No commercials. Back to all your calls on everything. It is agenda-free, after all. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.